Actually, today I only wanted to speak briefly and not so mightily, because the word speaks for itself. Every scripture that we read is living, is in effect, it never returns void, but it accomplishes what it has been sent for. We are grateful to the Lord also for our brother Kurt Amann, who can be here with us today. We are united in God's love very warmly. All those who are born of God are filled with God's love, God's love for the Word. And also, as our Lord said, if you have love for one another, then even the world will know that you are my disciples. Another case which is very serious, it's about our brother Jean-Claude in Brussels. Many of you have heard him singing the Maranatha song. He had a terrible stroke. He can't move on the right side of his body. And we visited him, we anointed him with oil, and we trusted the Lord. And when we were leaving, I was asking, do you know me? Can you hear me? And he nodded, and he whispered, yes. And the rest still needs to come, and it will come, and we trust the Lord that He will do all things well. Then also, we've mentioned the baptism we had yesterday. It was very blessed. Originally, there were to be 7 people to be baptized, and in the end, there were 10 people baptized. With all our heart, we are thankful that we can believe, as the Bible says, and that we are baptized, as the Bible says. The scripture is still true, which says that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Not only who believes something, but who really believes in our Lord and Savior and is baptized, then there is the promise that he will be saved. We are thankful for all those, especially young people, that are drawn to the Lord. May it be fulfilled that you will be saved, you and your household, as it is written. Then we have greetings from South America, all those that are united with us from all around the world. And it is my prayer today that the Lord might bless all interpreters, our brothers Jean Lambert and Etienne Genton, also those brothers translating into Romanian. It is simply wonderful that translations are being done at all the different places, and what we are saying here and the scriptures we are reading, these are being translated into all the other languages. May the Lord also bless our brother Helmut Miskis, taking care of all those Portuguese-speaking countries, well, we didn't only have hundreds, but even thousands of those who believe the word, and they are made stronger through every sermon they hear. So especially in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And for that, good soil is necessary. Who comes from a farm, they know that first we need to plow and harrow to prepare the soil before we can sow. I come from a farm. I was born in a house where there was no running water, no electricity. We had to draw water from the well. But so much I know what it means to plow and to harrow. So what needs to become first is the preparation of the heart, so that God's seed does not fall into thorns or on the road, but into the well-prepared soil. And brothers and sisters, those who are coming here to the front to share the word with you, we are standing before the Lord asking, please, O Lord, give us your grace, give us your word. And then you are to be prepared in your heart, asking the Lord, please, O Lord, give us your word and make it fall into the good soil so that it can bring a lot of fruit. We could say many things about the developments of the time. Also, the recent earthquake in the central Italy, where more than 290 people died. It is maybe 200 or 300 kilometers from here. And we inquired whether any of our brothers and sisters were injured, but as far as we know, none of them were injured. But we are reminded of what our Lord said about the end time, about earthquakes, famines, expensive times, helplessness of all the nations. All these things were to come, also false prophets deceiving many, and it is all coming true. We can cry out loud what our Lord said at that time, that all things shall come to pass, and when we see that it is coming to pass, then we should look up, because we know that our redemption is drawing near, the redemption of our body, the redemption of our soul took place on the cross of Calvary. The covenant with God was made, the blood of the covenant was shed, and our Lord said it in Matthew 26, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But the completion of the work of redemption takes place when the Lord returns and our mortal bodies are changed, and we will be taken up to Him. That is the promise that the Lord has given to His own. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. He came to us, he became man, so that we could come to him and to be equal to him. How great calling we've been given by God's grace, and we can receive it all in faith. Also, the anti-message. We believe with all our heart that God has fulfilled the promise that he would send the prophet before the second coming of Christ, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, before the sun turns dark and the moon turns into blood and stars fall from heaven. God will fulfill his word, and he has fulfilled the promise for our time, but only those who are of God, those will hear and will believe the word of God. All the others will just go around it. They will not be able to see it. They cannot say yes, no, because it's not revealed unto them. So we are even more grateful to God that he has given us the grace at this time. And brothers and sisters, everything is coming to the climax. Whether looking at Israel, Turkey, Russia, wherever we are looking, the Russian Prime Minister invited Abbas and Netanyahu to Moscow to hold peace talks there. When we watch all those things that are on agenda next month, on the 31st of October, Pope Francis will be in Sweden proclaiming the end of the Reformation. He will proclaim that the Reformation is now over. We all now belong together. And you know that the highest ranking man in Geneva, in the World Council of Churches, and you know that that Sweden is the largest Protestant country on the European continent, all things are truly coming to an end in our time, and we really can look up, because we know not only that we hope or believe, but we know, because we can see that all things are coming to fulfillment. And that the redemption of our bodies has drawn very near. We will read a few scriptures, but before that, I would like to mention the booklet, the Bible, the most read book on earth. Has received a lot of attention. Orders are coming from everywhere. And I took the liberty and sent this booklet to some publishing houses, to some Christians associations, and to some Christians magazines. So I send it to them with the deep desire upon my heart, so that we may be free of the blood of all so that we do not put the truth under the bucket, but we put it on the candlestick, on the lampstand. The church is the lampstand, and our Lord is walking among the seven candlesticks. And what was entrusted to us, that is what we have to share. In Matthew 13, our Lord said that He will open His mouth to speak in parables, and the mysteries that were hidden from the foundation of the world, that these are revealed, and we can live in this time, whether it is about Godhead. You can all understand, it is simply so precious to me. God has taken us to the Holy of Holies. He didn't leave us in the vestibule or just in the sanctuary or in the holy place, but He was revealed in the Holy of Holies. There was the Ark of Covenant, that is where the blood was placed on the plate on the Ark of Covenant, and the Word was in the Ark of Covenant. And the judgment was proclaimed there, but curse was turned into blessing there for all those who were granted access to it. And our Lord and Savior, He went to the heavenly holy place with His precious blood and He sacrificed it on the throne of grace. And we who have found favor with God, we are simply grateful. And we can say it again. The revelation of God is not in the vestibule, it is not in the sanctuary. There was the table with breads and the gold candlestick. But the direct revelation of God was in the Holy of Holies. And we all know that the curtain was torn apart, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, because it was God who did it. The way is free for us, and we can enter, as Brother Branham saw it revealed from the Word of God by God's grace. How often He mentioned the pillar of fire that accompanied the people of Israel for 40 years. And what God was doing in the Old Testament, He does the same in the New Testament, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham also mentions that when Saul was on the way to Damascus and he saw this bright light at the noon time, and he was asking, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer was, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." The same in the Old Testament and the same in the New Testament. For me, the topic of Godhead is so precious, so wonderful to me, and God has given us so much grace that we could really enter the Holy of Holies, to hear the revealed Word, to believe it, and also to understand it, and to receive God's seed. And every seed gives the fruit of its own kind. And as sure as we have received the pure seed that we have sown, the pure seed from God, so sure it is that there will be the pure harvest of wheat. I can repeat this in every meeting. One of the mightiest things God has showed me is the ripe field of wheat. Nobody can imagine it, what it means when we see it in a vision and when we are taken there in spirit. And then we see this golden field of wheat and a new combine. And then I was given the command, the combine is for you. Get on it and harvest the field. And what was striking to me as someone coming from a farm, there were no tares in the field of wheat. And our Lord Himself said that He will send His angels before His coming, and they will take out all tares. And John the Baptist said that he will only gather the wheat into his barn and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. Our brother Baumgartner has already mentioned it, that we've truly been called out and separated. We have all gone into all the different directions. I was baptized in the Baptist church, and when I'm looking back, how wonderfully the Lord led from knowledge to knowledge, from clarity to clarity. And now a few days ago, on the 15th of August, it was 61 years from when I first shook Brother Branham's hand. It was exactly 61 years ago. It was also on Monday. And after two meetings on Saturday and Sunday, I could not find any peace. I was so moved, so overwhelmed. So before 8 in the morning, I was waiting at the hotel and I was just waiting for this man. And I am simply grateful for all those things that were led by God, that I could know from the very beginning that nobody can do these things taking place there only if God is with him. And then all the other things which our Lord has led, whether it was in Dallas, Texas, let me repeat it one more time. I traveled to Canada. I was among those 13 million refugees after the Second World War. I bought a house there. I was living a very good life, not thinking at all of ever returning. Why should I return here? And then the man of God said, in 1958, after he finished saying about what was upon his heart, about his commission, about the message, and at the end of our conversation he said, you will return with this message to Germany. It was the greatest sacrifice I have ever made in my life. For me, it was the commandment of the Lord. On the other hand, I could not do anything at all. God has led all things that way from the very beginning. And Brother Branham also mentioned in a sermon that he was speaking with a brother from Germany who embraced me, and we are just grateful, and excuse me for repeating it again, but these are not human decisions. It is God's plan of salvation and the message of the hour and the second coming of Christ. And we are especially grateful that our brother from Pakistan, that God has opened the doors there, that there are 65 TV stations connected, broadcasting God's message every Friday in the whole area. God has taken care of all things, of all languages, all translations, and we are grateful for it. Whether it's via the internet or TV broadcasts, God has made sure that His word can reach the ends of the earth, and we can really look up and we see that the return of the Lord is very near. Let us read a few scriptures. I will tell you how it is. We do not need to preach anymore. We only need to read what is written. When we go to Romans chapter 9, here, in a special way, Paul wrote about God's plan of salvation for the church, for Israel, for those from nations. Here it is, chapter by chapter, giving all God's promises and how they have come true. Even Romans chapter 9, especially from verse 24, Romans 9 from verse 24. Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. It is about the vessels. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Here he writes that already in the Old Testament and from the very beginning, God included not only Israel, but also all nations and tongues and nationalities. He included them all in His plan of salvation. And especially in verse 28, this is simply so mighty. Verse 28, for He will finish not upon your or my word, but upon His word, He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. It is simply so mighty. God accomplishes what He has promised in His word. And I have a new circular with me here. You can all take it home with you. God first gives promises and then fulfills them. And brothers and sisters, we are the heirs of God and the joint heirs of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who have already had the privilege to be included in a testament, then you know what joy it is when we find out that we've been included in a testament, when we receive the deed from the court, and there it is, my name and the amount received. It was very nice, and I can still use it to finance all the travels all around the world, because God has taken care of all things from the very beginning, and we are the heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Our names are written in the book, in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. We did not just come on our own. We came because we were predestinated by God to come. And we believe from all our hearts that all the promises given to us, they will come to pass. As the testament here on earth must come to pass, all things must be done as they are written there. So it is with God, because He has made the Old Testament, He has made the New Testament, and nothing may be added to the Testament, and nothing may be taken from it. It must all remain as it is written there. And so we need to emphasize it again and again, that all the interpretations of Brother Branham's statements, whatever they are saying and teaching, it is all just being added. We are only staying with what is written in the Old and the New Testament. What is not written, that does not belong to us at all. Only what is written in the Testament, that belongs to you and to me. And so we are the heirs of God and the joint heirs of Jesus Christ. You can't imagine how painful it is for me, especially when Brother Branham's statements are taken out of context and more is added to it, and people are led into error with these statements. You can't imagine how painful it is. William Branham was a man sent from God with a special commission and ministry that nobody except our Lord has ever had. And also here we have to go from statement to statement and going back to the Bible, and only what is written in the Bible must be what we believe. We have emphasized that only what is written in the Old and the New Testament, that is given to us. All the rest has nothing to do with us. The hairs are written in the Testament, and we repeat, our names are written in the Book of Life of the Lamb, and God has made the covenant with us. The blood of the new covenant was shed for us, and in Revelation 22 it is repeated that nobody can add anything or to take anything. Otherwise, our part on the tree of life will be taken from us. And that is the final authority. Not at the final judgment. Who has added or who has taken, then his part from the tree of life will be taken. And there will be no more negotiation about that. All the scriptures are the final authority. And that's why our Lord said that when you remain in me and my words remain in you, and we do not only need to have love, but also love for the truth, for the word, only to believe what is written. And here we read that the Lord will do all things according to His word, just one by one. He will finish His work. And we can also read in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not only confessing Jesus, but confessing Jesus as the Lord. Who could say, before Abraham was, I am, about whom it is written, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Or in Luke, but why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Not the mother of God, but the mother of my Lord. Even here is the difference. Why there is God there and the Lord here? We must simply know that it belongs where it is written, and it must remain as it is written. Who confesses Jesus as the Lord and believes in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That is also necessary, not only to believe that he died, to believe that he rose from the dead on the third day, conquered the death, the hell and the devil, and his resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. His ascension to heaven is the guarantee of our ascension to heaven. Whatever happened to him, the firstborn among many brethren, that will happen with us by God's grace. That is the assurance of the Word of God, and we are grateful for it. We can also say that we did not follow cunningly devised fables, but the precious, holy Word of God. And as we have mentioned, we do not need to preach anymore. We just need to read the epistles of the apostles, and then we are led into all the topics, whether it's about the law, about grace, about all the Bible doctrines. Everything is written here in the Word of God. God did not forget anything. And now, at the end, He has also sent His servant and prophet to reveal all things in the harmony of the Old and the New Testament. And He has led us into the whole counsel of salvation of our God, and that was given to us by God's grace. Here we can also read, as Paul mentioned, what is written in Prophet Joel. In Romans 10, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no salvation with closed lips. It is simply impossible. When the Spirit of God comes upon us and we are convinced of our sin, and that is written that when the Holy Spirit has come, He will do three things. He will convict the world of sin, that they do not believe, of righteousness that is given to us, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts of the sin, and then we are coming to the Lord, and we are asking, O Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me. And all those who are baptized, they had their personal experience of salvation. They call upon the Lord. They asked for forgiveness. Let's repeat it once again. There is no silent conversion or silent new birth or silent baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, something is happening with us, and what is taking place inside, it will be revealed. Even on the day of Pentecost, they were united in prayer, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out, and then there were tongues of flame, of fire, that came upon all of them. All God's promises are connected with their fulfillment. We could continue reading up to chapter 11, and it is simply so precious. Brothers and sisters, let's repeat it one more time. Here Paul wrote about the people of Israel, what happened with them. And I read it in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and 30, where God already spoke about scattering because of their disobedience and about their leading back to the land of their fathers. Even in Deuteronomy, in the final chapters, 28, 29, and 30, God announced the way of the people of Israel beforehand. He knew how they would act and how they will be scattered among all nations because of their disobedience. And at the end of the days, they will return from all the nations. As Paul also described it, and our Lord also did it or mentioned it in Matthew 24, that we should learn this parable from the fig tree. And when speaking about what's going on in our time, we have mentioned it from Romans chapter 11. Just imagine how I feel when I am reading such scriptures. Romans chapter 11, verse 4. But what does the divine response say to him? Not your, not my response, but what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God has always had a remnant, and the remnant will be the host of overcomers. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And we will be given crowns as overcomers upon the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, verse 5, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Not only at that time, but this scripture also applies to our time and can be read again. And it is all coming true, coming to pass also in our time. God has a remnant according to his election. The remnant that cannot fit anywhere. I also had to think about it. Just forgive me that I mentioned it here, but every church, every religious association has its statements of faith. The Methodists believe their statements of faith. The Baptists believe their statements of faith. There are 254 dogmas in the Catholic Church, and I read them all, and then I had to ask, do a Baptist believe this? Do a Methodist believe this? No, they all believed what they decided for themselves. But brothers and sisters, we believe what God has decided for us in the Old and the New Testament. We believe what God has left us. We are built upon the original foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, where Jesus alone is the cornerstone. So also, there is a remnant in our time. Those who do not bow the knee before Baal, not bowing anywhere and before anything, only before the one about whom it is written that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall say that thou art the Lord, and all tongues shall confess it. But according to God's revelation, we can confess it already now at this time. So we can say that God has the plan of salvation that he is leading to completion in our days, and we've been given the great privilege to live at this time, and that is connected with responsibility before God. I am not just saying it, I mean it. The responsibility we have now, we know that all the men of God had responsibility given to them through their call and commission, and Paul could write in Acts 20, he wrote there that he preached the whole counsel of God to them. But before, and also John was given the revelation, it was even before John was given the revelation on the Isle of Patmos. And we now know all these things written by apostles. We know what our Lord said. We have the whole of the Old and the New Testament. And by God's grace, we can see the harmony and God's plan of salvation for all, for Jews, for Greeks, for Gentiles. It was all revealed to us from God. And as it was shown to Brother Branham, when the seven seals were open, who can we discuss it with nowadays? Who finds it important at all? Who wants to hear it? But those who are of God, they rejoice that the merciful Lord took the time. He came down in the cloud, surrounded by the seven angels. And as Brother Branham often repeated, and I probably too, the seventh angel was of more importance to him than the rest. And that one gave him the command to return back to Jeffersonville, because the seven seals were to be opened for us who are having part in it and who can give thanks to the Lord for such event taking place in our time. Not philosophy, not an interpretation, but revealed in a supernatural way and announced. And He opened our understanding for the Scriptures so that we can also place all things where they belong. And it is also about the following ministry, the prophetic ministry, the teaching ministry, placing all things where they belong into the direct connection, the direct and precise context. We will also write about it in the future. God, by His grace, opened our understanding, and the time has come that our attention is directed to what God has promised for this time. Also, Scriptures can be repeated again and again. The gospel of the kingdom with everything that belongs to it. Brothers and sisters, I could write day and night, so precious and great the word has become to me, and whenever I read, it is just illuminated, and the Spirit of God just leads in the right way, so we can place the things where they belong. And it is also God's grace. Nobody can do it on his or her own. And now, those scriptures from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read these scriptures at the end. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here sind es die Verse 2. from verse 15.
2. Timotheus, 2. Kapitel von Vers 15.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Hallelujah.
Praise and glorified be the name of the Lord. Be a worker who rightly and correctly preaches the word of truth, placing the scriptures where they belong. And then the warning in verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings. Isn't it our task, as it was at that time, with all those interpretations and sayings? What do we have in common with those things? Our task is to preach and to give out the word of truth and to place it where it belongs, and not to be occupied with some idle babblings taking place here or there.
Weiter sich fressen zu ihnen gehören Hymenaeus.
And then in verse 19, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Brothers and sisters, God has protected us from that up to this day, and He will protect us, keep us secure until the end. And when somebody says that the Lord has already come, then we say no, because when He comes, then we are going. And as long as we are still on earth, then He has not returned yet. And even here we can mention some statements of Brother Branham that were in the form of the past, but they still lie in the future. But the whole book of Revelation is so written as if all things have already passed, even though they are still in the future. But thanks be to God when we can read in what context Brother Branham mentioned those things that they are referring to. Only then we can discern that we can see that they do not have the grace, the word is not revealed to them, but that they just take the statements out of context. And now just one more verse, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands in spite of all the interpretations spreading like cancer, but not in you and not in me, because such things do not heal anyone, but it's written that God has sent His word and healed them, but the interpretations are making people sick, but only the word of truth is healing us. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And here we can truly say, and his own know him. The Lord knows those who are his, and those who are his know him. And we can say this again with a thankful heart. The grace given to us by God to understand all things correctly. That was the question our Lord, our beloved Lord, asked. When in Matthew 13 presented the seven parables of the kingdom of God, and then he opened their understanding for the scriptures, also about the two sowers, and I have the picture of what Brother Branham saw with a man dressed in white, sowing the seed, but a dark dressed figure is coming afterwards, also sowing his seed. So it is written in Matthew 13. The Lord has come to sow his seed, and his seed is the word of God. And we have received the word, and we have believed it. But the enemy always comes afterwards, sowing his interpretations about which we have just read, that they are spreading like a cancer. Cancer also has life in it, but it's foreign life, and that is what Brother Branham said, that it is a demon giving rise to this life. And it is written here that these malignant teachings, they are like cancer. We can say it again and again, because people are just eaten, they can't see correctly, because they have fallen prey to the interpretations. Please, do not let any interpretation enter your heart. The word is the seed. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. And this seed from God is sown into our hearts. And let's say this again, our Lord is the promised seed, and the Word is the seed, and the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that God has given to us, it is the seed, and we receive it, and it will become God's reality in us, as it became God's reality in our Lord. He was the firstborn among many brethren, and we, as the firstborn, the heirs of God and the joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So that we can have part in the first resurrection, in the rapture, in the wedding supper, and then to return with the Lord and to sit on his throne in the millennium and reign with him. God has the wonderful plan of salvation, and we believe every word and every promise. Let's repeat it once again. God is faithful, and there was the light at the evening time, and what had been hidden, it was then and it is now revealed to us. Praise and glory be to our God, now and forever, in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Maybe two or three brothers may come and give thanks to the Lord. We will sing "Just as I Am." We may remain in a silent prayer, bringing our prayer requests to the Lord. We believe in the perfect salvation that took place on the cross of Calvary. We believe what is written in Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And if there are such in our midst who have not yet had these personal experiences of salvation and conversion, if you have not experienced these things with God, brothers and sisters, it is the most important thing in preaching. Education is good, but first of all, we need to be born again unto the living hope in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It all has happened for us, and all the promises have come to pass, and by God's grace we can believe now, we can believe as the scripture says, and we can receive every scripture as God's seed and give thanks to the Lord for it. While our heads are bowed down, I would like to ask if we have prayer requests in our midst, whether concerning earthly or spiritual things. We are here to experience something with God, not only to hear His word, but it must be worth coming here to this meeting. And God hears our prayers. God saves, heals, forgives our sins, just as it is written, it all is done by His grace. While all our heads are bowed down, let me ask whether there is anyone here with a prayer request. Thank you very much. O Lord, You, Almighty God, You have seen those hands and hearts. You know what we all need, and we thank You as those singers were singing, upon His wings and hidden under His wings, carried on the wings and protected under the wings. O Lord, You have given us the promise that You will be with us until the end of the world. And You have said that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all nations as a witness, and then the end shall be. Beloved Lord, You have been revealed in our time in a supernatural way, and You have been confirmed. You have opened the sealed book. You led us into the Holy of Holies, and we have received the revelation of God. And we can thank You with all our heart for that. Now, dear Lord, please look at all our needs, all those who are coming with a prayer request to Your throne of grace. May they believe with all their heart and receive it, that it has already happened, because so it is written that it happened in the past. By his stripes we are healed. Not that you will be, but we are healed. We are saved. We've been set free. We've been healed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, beloved Lord, for the perfect salvation and for everything that has been given to us, for our bodies, our souls, our minds, to you, the Almighty God, we say thank you. Also, that you will make sure that the simple preaching will come into effect and that it will accomplish what your word has been sent for. Your word is so powerful, and I ask you, please reveal the whole counsel of God to every person here. Also, that we belong among those who are elect, as it was written in Romans 11, not only in the days of Elijah of the Old Testament, but also in our days, you sent Elijah for our time. There are people who do not bow their knee to Baal or to any system, but they only worship you, O God, in Jesus' holy name. And so it is written also for our time that God has preserved a remnant. And O Lord, I thank you that we may belong to it. And now please bless all those who have joined us online all around the earth, in South America, in Romania, and everywhere. Bless with the riches of your grace, and please complete your work with all of us. In the holy name of Jesus, we are asking for it, and we are giving thanks to you in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Noch einmal, seid bereit für ihn zu.